Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome to Love Live, Ruach Remnant Reality Radio's Praise, Prayer, Decree, and Declare. I am Shaliah Scribe, and I am behind the eight ball again, but that's all right. At least I still get too motivated, because after all, I am the cue ball. So, hallelujah. As you can tell, I just rolled out not long ago. I woke up at 5 o'clock. Wanted to get some actual sack time because I fell asleep in my chair. Set my alarm for 6. It went off. I didn't. The next thing you know, I'm waking up and it is 6:33. So please forgive me for being tardy again. We know that Yahweh's got our day started. He's got it planned. We just need to figure out, are we going to tap into his purposes for us, or are we going to tap into our own? Again, as we start out RIP 2.0, we ask, where would you prefer to spend your day today? In the Ruach HaKodesh, or in your own yuck of flesh? But again, here we prep so we don't have to mess with the flesh. We're here to choose how our day starts, how it goes, where it goes, and when it goes there. And we do that best by turning it over to Yahweh and letting Him lead and guide as we listen and take action. Hallelujah. I see that Yami is not on this morning. So I am going to ask Shaliah Rock if he would be willing to pray through the line. And that'll give me a few minutes to clear my head, have another sip of coffee, and actually try to organize my thinking. Hallelujah. Shaliah Rock, are you there? All right. Hallelujah. Abba, in the name of Yeshua, we just thank you for today. We thank you for another awesome morning, another chance to serve you, another chance to serve others, another chance to bring Ahava into this world. Now, we just ask that anything that the adversary might have planned to disrupt, anything the adversary may have put him to discourage this call and those on it, and those that have heard, that will hear it, and those that won't hear the message today. Abba, we ask that they know that the adversary in their life is already defeated. He's already broken. He's already powerless. He is nothing. But the name, the Elohim on our lips, He is creator and conqueror. He is comforter and companion. So, Abba, we just thank you, knowing that you prepared the line, knowing that you have most obviously gone the second mile in the sacrifice of your Son to prepare our way. So, yeah, we just thank you for today. We just ask again that you clear the line so that we can move through this call and leave a positive mark on people's lives. In the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. And yeah, man. This is Hard Rain. We shall return.
You wonder why you're getting wet, but ignore that you were warned. Run under the shelter that your own hands have built, and leave outside the reason that reminds you of your guilt. How do you know? You who say you understand, while you tighten up the blindfold with your bloodstained hands, you keep walking the road with the hole for you to fall, and say that you're not guilty, 'cause you don't see at all. If I was an older man, you would think about my words, but you must say I'm far too young, you must say I'm unlearned. How is it I know to offer you advice? You ignore me every time I speak and tell me I'm not right. How do you know? You who say you understand, while you tighten up the blindfold with your bloodstained hands, you keep walking the road with the holes for you to fall, and say that you're not guilty, 'cause you don't see at all. You tighten up the blindfold with your bloodstained hands, you keep walking the road with the hole for you to fall, and say that you're not guilty, 'cause you don't see at all. No, you don't see at all.
I guess I pretty much gave an opening statement when before I started this song, so I'm kind of at a loss for where to start from here. But I will do this. Abiyah, in the name of Yeshua, I just wanted to thank you for everything you've given me. But yeah, I don't just want to give thanks. I want to appreciate more that which you've given me. Abba, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for the fact that you chose me, that you sought me out. Yeah, I'm thankful for your message. I'm thankful for your compassion. I'm thankful for the people that Yah has brought into my life, and I can only hope that they are. Some of those notables, obviously, are my parents, my brothers, my wife and children, Rock and Sand, Yami and Jim, Marissa, Jerry, Dave, so many others. Yeah, the list is essentially endless. Abba, I'm thankful for transformed recovery. I'm thankful for the desire to change. I'm thankful that we had a safe trip back from Milwaukee yesterday. I'm thankful, Yah, that we had a good meeting yesterday. And Abba, I'm just thankful and grateful for the power of the message of health, wellness, and wealth that we can bring to your body and to the lost and hurting in this world so that they can see that they too can change their life and that you want them to change their lives. Not only that you want them to, but that you will help them do it. Hallelujah. Abba, in the name of Yeshua, I just pray that, Yah, that the powers that be would be crushed. That the powers and principalities of the air, the powers of darkness that are at work in this world, Abba, that they would feel the sting of defeat. Abba, whether they were talking in specifics about witchcraft, there is an unlimited number of demonic forces that we contend against, that we wrestle with. Abba, not because of who we are do we have the authority over them, but because of who you are. Abba, we ask that these forces in the various cities that we're in, the lawlessness, the Torahlessness, the criminality, Abba, and the demons that are behind it, that they would be silenced, that they would be crushed, that they would not be able to stand in the presence of your light because of your mishpacha. Abba, I decree and declare an increasing passion in my message. Abba, I decree and declare a increasing motivation, clarity, purpose, poignancy. Abba, I decree and declare that I am wealthy. I am a doer of the word. I do know and I am able to accomplish those things that need to be done to provide support for the body, to provide support for the poor, to provide support for my family. I just decree and declare that those that have known me before would see the changes in me because of what you've done in me. I decree and declare that there would be a new bounce in my step. That there would be something new and unusual about scribe. Abba, that what needs to be changed in me would be embraced and rejected. Hallelujah. I am bold in Yeshua. I am vibrant. I am excited. I am a people magnet. I am wealthy by the kavod of Yah. I am a doer of Yah's word. I am a work in progress. I am an emulator. I am passionate. I am compassionate. I am capable of thinking of others before thinking of myself. I am not rash. I am not rude. I am loving. I am love. And I'm full of great things and great purposes and great dreams that have yet to be fulfilled, but will be because of Yah's promise. I am a faithful friend, brother, and warrior in good standing in Shamayim. And I am Yah's. Hallelujah. That, praise Yah, we are going to skip to another song. Exactly which one at this point, I don't know yet. How about this one? This is We the Kingdom Dancing on the Waves. We will be back in about 4 minutes and 27 seconds. You are listening to Praise Yah. we're going to reach out and see if that is Shalia Sand or if one of those three Phoenix phones, one of those three other numbers happens to be none other than Shalia Hiyami. Boker Tov, everybody. I can see you if you want to let me know we're on. This is supposed to be a two-way conversation, or actually a conversation. Who we got on the line with us this morning? All right. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Normally, this would be the place where Yami would get her 27.
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
I was playing with the mute button because this isn't my phone.
Come on now. Hey, Yami, by now yes. We've come to figure out that is a complete and total fallacy of an excuse. Because you can't even find the mute button on your own phone, sister.
Hallelujah.
I love you. Good to hear you on the line. Right.
Hallelujah. Glad to be here. I'm struggling a little bit here because I don't know the address exactly in the book of Samuel that I was thinking of sharing today. So I'm going to be, when you are the leader of this group, so this morning. So did you want me to go ahead and pray and then talk about what was really on my heart for a couple days, like kind of meditating on it? It's just awesome that what I've been growing and understanding, and it's things that people would think are simple. They are in Yeshua, but on our own, sometimes we don't get it. And for me, when I have something that I don't get, and Yah opens or takes the blinders off my eyes, and then I understand, then I constantly am meditating. It's like just a habit I've found. That just happens to me. So I guess I should begin with a prayer. I couldn't hear exactly if that's... I think I just butted in. I don't know where we're at. Whenever I will speak, so I'm giving... Let you finish where you were and listen until it's my turn.
No, actually, Yami, it is your turn. I did pray clear the line. So if you want to come forward with your prayer, decrees and declares, your 40 powerful prayers, 77 thankful things, and then your teaching, that would be great.
Hallelujah.
So
yes, I enter your gates, my Father, with thanksgiving, and I come to your courts with praise, saying, this is the day Yah has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will choose to submit my will to you, and I will choose to have an attitude of gratitude, because there's so much you've given to, and you said, whosoever will can come, whosoever will can have all the wonderful experiences, the great exploits you have for each of us. And Father, allow us to reveal to you our heart. Allow us to open our heart to be candid to you, and not to be lacking in any of your gifts, but to receive every gift you have to give us, and to also be doers of the instructions you give us, because in that way we can stay in right standing with you. And when we do that, we're right where we were created to be. And thank you, Father, as we look into the book of 1 Samuel. It is outstanding to me that after all the things clear up to chapter 1 Samuel, about the 14th chapter, that within those pages you told the people, your people, the things that they were doing, and the things they continued to be whiny about, and how you had continued to give them a king because that's what they wanted. Although your heart is for us to let you be king and to let the flag fly high in the banner of our heart, which is the essence of love, your nature, your ruach flowing in us, and us doing the next right thing, the next honorable thing, and have that great experience of the height and the depth and the breadth and the length and the width of the love that you have towards us. And love is something that you, when you give it away, you end up having more. And then we got the devil putting in there his temptations and his lies, and we become foolish and think it's okay to go after. And then we find out, no, it's not going to work. And so we come to you and we repent, because we know that without you, we are like ships without a sail. And we know our need for you, because that is our source of everything. You are. That is a fact, that who we are, you create us to be, and that we're always a work in progress, that we are always, I believe, through eternity, witnessing of, to, and for the love you have towards us. And then we come a little bit more. We can't be in your presence without being changed. And we can't let your ruach flow through us to help, heal, deliver anybody else without ourselves being changed a little bit more. And so, as in these chapters, starting from the beginning of the 62 verses that are written in or 66, excuse me, verses that are written in your lesson books and your history book and information book and direction book. Hallelujah. So far, I've found men always find a way to go astray. I heard sheep are one of the dumbest animals, and we are often referred to as his sheep. And we do need you, our good shepherd. You're the one that we recognize your voice, and because we're human, we pray that we do not hear the voice of the enemy, but that we walk in truth and we walk with you and not away from you into our own lust, because a man goes astray when they're pulled the wrong direction into their own lust. So, Father, the amazement that you've given me to meditate on for a while, because this is how you work in me, you will give me a scripture lesson that will keep me thinking about it. You get the wheels in my brain to get moving until it reaches down in my heart, and then that seed of your word is planted and it takes root and it grows and it becomes what you sent it to be. You are the Yah that heals us. You are the Yah that loves us, and you are the only one that can give to us what we need. But we want to give back to you all you give to us, and we want to fit exactly where we belong. So here it's all the children of Israel each went their own way. Your word tells us that we're all like sheep who've gone astray. We've turned everyone his own way, but Yah's laid upon himself the iniquity of us all. And you're showing in First Samuel the ways your people were straying. Same old, same old. Going after their own lust, thinking that some false god could offer what Yahweh has, and learning that you hate that. You love us and you want us to be faithful to you. So you let the hard times come, and then your people, we as your people, get convicted would be the word, and we would feel pain enough to repent and to recognize your love. When you get hate thrown at you, you decide you want to go back to what love is, and so you end up going, we end up going back to repentance and turning from our wrong ways, so that we are feeling his perfect love in our presence, and we are receiving the rewards of obedience. And thank you that you have a rod and a staff, and really they do comfort us. Though for a season we might hurt, but it's getting the evil out of us that causes us to know your love. And thank you that you don't give up on us. Thank you, Father, that you reveal to us what we do wrong, and you don't stop there. The precious blood of the only one who did not sin when he walked on this earth, and shed that blood that makes us whole and able to be back in right standing with you. So in right standing, we desire to stand. So what do you say, what did you impress to me in the book of 1 Samuel? When you said, you have did all these things. We're talking about whatever the false god that tries to lure us, and we get lured, you wash that away. You take the power of Satan out of our hearts, and we do repent. And then you didn't stop. You said, well, yes, you are guilty. You had all these sins, but because I made the way, follow me with all your heart now, anyway. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, it's so wonderful that he sees our sin, but he doesn't want to look on sin. He can't, because it destroys, it does too much damage. So for the purpose of the Son of Yah was manifest, was to destroy the works of the evil one. And that destruction is reversed. And we can enjoy life. Because life is not really life unless it's with you. As you lead me, your gentleness I find as we walk, your hand is held in mine on a path that together we have chosen. I walk with you because you know. You stand in place every once in a while. Or is it you, or is it me? Or is that because I don't let you hold my hand? But when those times come, Father, you wait with your hand stretched out. Hallelujah. And as again, I reach my hand out to you, we get back in the saddle again. We are able to walk again. Now, and the way the devil tries to make us feel accused, to the point that we're punished and wants to continue to punish us, that loses. It's turned over to forgiveness, and it's also turned over to gratitude, because with you, we have a reason to have the attitude of gratitude. And we do surrender, and we do become more and more and more infinite. Infinite is a hard word to understand, because in this life we see so much things coming and going. But you're solid, and we want to build ourselves on the rock of our salvation. Therefore, we say yes. We say amen, amen. We go forward one arm at a time. One day is all we can have, because that's how far we are given in time, which is not infinite. So hallelujah. Through all experiences, we choose you. We want to remain. And our heart wants to be full of joy in your presence through all eternity, through everything in this body, knowing that death is the final win, that when we die, we don't. We just leave this body back to ashes, and we come back to you to experience what else is for us in eternity, infinity. Hallelujah. Love everybody. And I pass.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for that, Yami. Appreciate it. Wow. That was good. You can definitely hear the Yahava. We will be right back in about five. This is Reckless Love.
shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Is with Yahweh, and now we are going to hand the phone off to Marissa after we figure out who's scratching around back there, and we're going to mute them. Don't know. Hey, if you get muted, just speak out. That's not my problem. Well, I got one of them. Let's see here. Okay, that looks like that might have been the one. Hallelujah. Here is Marissa. She's going to come forward with the prayers for us. Decrees and declares her Ephesians 6 reading. And then I shall be back. This is Scribe.
Hallelujah. Morning. Yes, I am. I'm trying to stay warm. I think it's awesome for you. And this is the lovely Sheboygan weather. So this morning is, okay, we got to stay still, please. We have our armor on that we put on every morning, but it's important to put it on. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but nurture them in the discipline and teaching of our master. Slaves, obey your masters according to flesh with reverence and trembling in singleness of your heart. As to Messiah, not with eye service as hypocrites, but as slaves of Messiah, doing the will of our master in the heart. Serving as slaves with goodwill to our master, and not as the men. Each one knowing that whatever good thing he does, this he shall receive from the master, whether he is a slave or a free man. The masters do the same things towards them, forgiving their faults, knowing that the master of you and of them is in heaven, and there is no respecter of persons with him. For the rest, my brothers, be made powerful in our master, and in the might of his strength. Put on all the whole armor of Yahweh, so to be able to stand against the strategies of the devil. For conflict is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, and with those in authority, with the possessors of this dark world, and with the evil spirits that are beneath heaven. Because of this, take up all the whole armor of Elohim, that you may be able to resist the evil one, and being prepared, you shall prevail. Then stand firm, having girded your loins about with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and defend your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace. Above all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. Also put on the salvation, and put on the helmet of salvation, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. Do all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Ruach, and watching to the same thing with all first prayers of petition concerning all the saints. Pray also for me, that to me may be given speech in the opening of my mouth with boldness, make known the mystery of the good news, for which I am an ambassador in a chain, that in it I may speak boldly as it is right for me to speak. But that you also may know the things about me, what I am doing, I guess the beloved brother, faithful minister, and our master, will make known all things to you, whom I sent to you for the same thing, that you might know the things about us, and he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brothers, with love and faith from Yahweh, the Father of Master Yeshua Messiah. Be with all those that love our Master Yeshua Messiah without corruption. Amen. So this morning we have your love Yahweh as our first place. And I declare that you are here with us as you guide us each step of the way. So we take your hands and we ask you to guide us this morning. We go into our rest of our day. And I think we need to clear that Yahweh is our healer. He's our supplier. He gives us all that is needed. And if you'd like to, like, sit back. Sorry. Anyways, sharing a cat with the little ones and stuff. So there's the one that should be right there. Well, we thank you for the little kids and for your word, Yahweh. We definitely clear that allergies and skin problems are healed, and as well as our skin. We can declare that we have your love over our nation, Yahweh, over all of the nations out there. That we have your timing, Yahweh, and building our life on a firm foundation. That you're sorting out each step of our day and our path of you, Yahweh. That we can declare that we are trying to stay awake after. It's been a coffee. I've had more awake. 1.5, however many coffees I've had. So anyways, we're going to declare that Yahweh's timing, and we have Yah structure. We're going to declare that the Malachim are taking place over our workplaces and our houses. And we're going to declare for the Malachim over Rock and Sandy and Scott and Kim and Yami and her brother. And I pray for the brothers and sisters that we know that have fallen astray, that they can be brought back to where you want them to go, Yahweh. And I pray for the white workers, for the Safe Haven Farm, that you know where they are right now. And you're preparing them to come into fruition of the places that you want them to go. I think we need to clear that feet are cold. Yeah, that we are walking in fullness. And for alcohol and addiction out there, Yahweh, for less death in life. Let me speak life over them. Pray for the drug dealers, for the men and women in uniform, to get those bad men and women off the street. And for our healthcare system, Yahweh, you know where they are. And I pray for you to help them turn to you throughout the midst of their practices, that they are not in the condemnation and not in strongholds of the pharmacy and the worldly way of doing things. to finish there that with a transgender body modifier people that they can come out of that field and they can take them to better places. I'm going to say that the government of the Yahweh is that is a unyali. They bring them out of that, the absolute bad in that situation. And bring out the good things that we are most crucial that we need in the office. And it's going to clear that our financial problems are no longer a problem. And I pray for the X39 business as well as the other businesses that we're in. Come on, Eva. Stop. Please. And I pray for the all things that come into alignment, your money is up in your word, Yahweh. I pray for people that are coming out of the wilderness into the promised land. And I thank you for bringing us out of Egypt. Can you stop, please, Eva? Stop tapping me. Sorry. I pray that your fruit, your love, joy, peace, faith, patience, goodness, take this up and soul. I pray for stuff it. A family's salvation. Of our families. And I pray for our love ministry, prison ministers, Steve Shipley and others that are teachers of you, Yahweh. For the children, my children, and I keep getting distracted. Eva, stop it.
Just want to pass it over. I'll play the song.
Yeah, I'm even past with this. I can't even concentrate this morning. I'm sorry. Not even a
salvation. Trust in Yahushua.
normally after Marissa is done with her praise, prayers, decrees, and declares, if nobody else is going to bring theirs forward, that we do our 27 minutes of meditation. So I'm going to ask if there's anybody else out there that would like to introduce themselves and come forward with their praise, prayers, decrees, and declares. Hallelujah. Let me know if you would. All right. Hallelujah. In that case, we will go to our 27th meditation. It is going to take me a minute to find it. So please bear with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Abba, in the name of Yeshua, we just thank you for these quiet times. We dedicate this 27 minutes, which I pray it was. We played two songs before, and then we played that 20 minutes. I believe that covers the 27. It had a few issues. But, Abba, we know that in that you worked. You accomplished what you wanted to accomplish in each of us. Abba, we ask that you train us to be better as we learn to meditate and as we learn to listen for you and to you. In the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. And amen. Well, I guess now it's time for Wealth of Wisdom. And I just pray I can bring it. Because, Abba Yah is a miracle-working El, and he's done it before, so I'm anticipating he'll do it again. We are going to be looking at Proverbs 14, 22 through 27, I believe. Because I think yesterday we started going through, I should probably go back and do yesterday's, but that would just confuse me that much more. So we're going to do, through 29 this morning. If I could ask Yami to pray over the reading, hearing, and obeying of the word, that would be fantastic. I might have to unmute her. I don't know.
Oh.
Whoop. Hallelujah.
Okay. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Good. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you give us ears to hear. And Father, we do mean that we want to hear what you have to say to us today from your instruction book, because we want to continue to maintain what we have already gained, and we also want to grow and establish a bit more of you within us. For, Father, you're so vast that there's always room for more. And you give to us what we need to be children that please you. Thank you. Let us always remember that we are yours and that you are ours, and your banner over us is love. So as we look into your word, let the seeds that will mature into what you want them to be be planted, and let the process begin so that we will go forth with joy and we will accomplish your plan. Just for today. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for that, Yami. All right. Proverbs 14, 23 through 20. Yes, I didn't count all seven this morning. Anyways, 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends only to poverty. The crown of the wise, Yami, if you could mute your phone, please. The crown of the wise is their.
You're going to have to. I can't find it.
I got it. All right. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, the foolish witness of fools is folly. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. In the fear of Yahweh is strong trust, and his sons have a hiding place. The fear of Yahweh is a fountain of life to turn away from the snares of death. In the multitude of the people is the king's glory. But in the lack of people is the ruin of a prince. One slow to anger is of great understanding. But he who is short of spirit exalts folly. Wow. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that nothing in Proverbs is inaccurate or out of line or worthy to be disagreed with. It's astounding that Solomon actually seems to know what he's talking about. But yet the world says they don't need Elohim, they don't need a creator, they don't need Yahweh, they don't need Yeshua. They're smart enough to do it on their own. They're wise enough to do it on their own. Yeah, right. If you're foolish enough to argue against the need for these words without even knowing what they say, then you truly do have the IQ of a footstool. Or at least the operating IQ of a footstool. And that's a sad place to be. That's a sad testament to have to acknowledge about oneself. Now, I know that part of the message was not directed at anybody currently on the line, because everybody currently on the line agrees with and acknowledges the need for the contents of the book. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. But again, 22, do not those who think evil go astray, but mercy and truth will be those who think of good. It's pretty simple. It really doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. While it might not be obvious to those that are thinking evil when they're that they're actually thinking it, because, I mean, let's face it, our own best friend is normally in our own minds ourselves. We don't think we're doing anything wrong. We don't think there's anything we have to go astray from. But when mercy and truth are introduced, we have to admit that there's another source out there. There's another element out there that we haven't considered. And he considers it. And he considers us. Mercy and truth, chesed nemet. Yahusha Messiah is the only good. And he comes to those that prefer good as well. Do not those who think evil go astray, but mercy and truth will be to those who think of good. That last, after that, that second statement is the promises of Yah. Verse 23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends to poverty. Now, there's exceptions in here that Solomon didn't write in, because these are supposed to be touch points. They're supposed to be they're supposed to be bullet points, if you will. Okay, that statement, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends only to poverty, does not clarify the exception. There's necessary conversation that can be profitable. There is labor without conversation that can be profitable, but not as profitable as other efforts that require conversation. Short and sweet, if you're all talk and no action, you're not going to make any money. I know this proverb to be factual. I know it to be factual. I'm unfortunately victimizing myself because of that principle, by that principle, in the past. In the past, it's been true. That changes. I have the ability, we all have the ability to change it upon decision. Verse 24, the crown of the wise is the richest. The foolishness of fools is folly. Again, if you've implemented the wisdom, you've earned, you've saved, you're able to make the purchase, Yah is not going to resent you for that or mistreat you because of it. In fact, he says, I gave you the strength to create wealth. Zig Ziglar the other day, I was listening to one of his recordings, says, yeah, I don't think Yahweh made the diamond or made diamonds for Hasatan's bunch. It's simple truth. We know Hasatan didn't create this world. We know Yahweh did. We know Yahweh owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and probably the earth that those hills are on as well. And there's no probably about it. We know he does. So that means that everything under those hills, everything that can be mined out of those hills, are Yahweh's too, and he can give them to whoever he wants to. The crown of the wise is the richest. The foolishness of fools is folly. If you're not going to pay attention, if you're not going to endeavor to be wise, if you're not going to endeavor to change even a little bit, then yeah, you're going to heap foolishness to yourself. And the result is going to be more folly added to it. And you're just going to look that much. I don't know exactly what a fool looks like, except for the one that pops on the evening news from time to time. Yeah, I don't want to get too far out there, but let's face it, it's not. It's easier to see a fool because of his actions or lack of. Verse 25, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful man speaks lies. So again, somebody that's living in agreement with the confessions of Abba Yah towards humanity is going to make a positive impact, and it's going to be obvious. But a deceitful witness speaks lies. There are little examples that we could go into on this almost all day long, but we get the idea. Obviously, a deceitful witness, if we understand the deceit, and if we understand the purpose of a witness, a deceitful witness can only speak lies, and it won't matter what the definition of is. Verse 26, in the fear of Yahweh is strong trust, and his sons have a hiding place. Now, a lot of people would hedge that. And they would say, in the fear of Yahweh should be strong trust. Okay, but Solomon writes it in a way where it's undeniable, it's unquestionable. It's a definite, not a possible. In the fear of Yahweh, in the realized reality of how awesome Yahweh is, is a strong reason to trust. Not to paraphrase, in the fear of Yahweh is strong trust. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That strong trust, that Yahfidence, knowing that if I push on, or if something's pushing on the outside of that wall, it's not going to get to me if I am believing that Yahweh's got my back. And his sons shall have a hiding place. You become Yahweh's son or daughter, son and daughter, you become grafted in by your position, by your thunk position on what his word says, and the action you take on it. In that position, there's security, there's a hiding place. Not that you won't be seen, it's not that you become invisible, but you have a place of shelter. And so long as you stay in that position of strong trust, so long as you continue believing Yahweh, no matter what pushes against those walls, Yahweh is not going anywhere. The fear of Yahweh is a fountain of life to turn away from the snares of death. More good news. Hallelujah. The awesome reality, the soul-saving realization of Yahweh in all his awesomeness is a fountain of life. And if we are wise, we will understand it, follow it, and allow it to turn us from the snares of death. Otherwise, we have to go back and reflect on that footstool I mentioned earlier. This is not rocket science. This is not Scientology. This is reality radio with a real, absolute creator that wants a relationship with you. He wants to be understood as your father. He wants to be perceived as the perfect father. He wants to reward you for proper behavior in him. And he will do it if we choose to begin and to continue walking in his Torah. Mom and Dad, when you were little, didn't give you a $20 a week allowance when you were 7 years old. You had to grow up into that. You're lucky if you got that by the time you're out of the house. The only reason I bring that up is because you wouldn't know what to do with it. There's a growing process. There's a growth process that people have to go through, that souls have to go through, in order to mature in the Ruach. that's what this verse is talking about. Maybe not specifically, but it's there. We've got to be obedient, because it's in that obedience that we will be able to observe where and how the snares of death are coming at us. Which means we're walking in the understanding that Yah has given us, that this is an action that could be taking us out of the hiding place spoken of in verse 26. In verse 28, as I close, in the multitude of people is the king's glory. But in the lack of people is the ruin of a prince. Shaliach Rock, I got to ask you a question, and actually anybody else on the line can answer. Is it wrong that I almost see the inauguration, almost literally see the inauguration of Joe Biden in this verse? Am I presuming too much? Am I reading too much into this? Am I allowing it too much authority to impact the modern day? But I do. I mean, let's look at it. In the multitude of peace is the king's kavod. Okay, the king's glory. All right, because we're speaking of a temporal reality. Okay, there weren't, you know, Joe Biden, for all intents and purposes, became king and prince on January 6th. Okay, there weren't a whole lot of people there. There wasn't a whole lot of excitement. There was a lack of a lot of things. And there has been ruin because of that prince. And that prince is ruined. He will probably never work. He's probably too old to work now anyway. But on the other side, in the multitude of people is the king's glory. There is great fear in the lack of people spoken about on the other side of that comma because of what's going on before the comma. Again, I said it before, and I'll say it again. I am astounded at how accurate and effective and dead on most, if not all, of the verses in Proverbs are as you get to them. And try as you may, try not to see the modern world through the eyes of Solomon. So hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I just thank you for your word today. We thank you for your wealth of wisdom, for your shachma. Abba, help us to walk in it. Help us to share it. Help us to be it. Help us to live it out. And help us to be identified by it so that we can teach and share your righteousness for your kavod, for your pleasure, in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. And amen. Oh, let's see. What can we do here? Hallelujah. We did that one. Okay, let's see. This is all I need.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, yeah, I can definitely see the connections of, you know, not just the Proverbs, but, you know, the Kings and the Chronicles in comparison of leadership. And really, there's a complete leadership, you know, a series of leadership seminars that can benefit us as people in this day and age, connecting back to all those various leaders. These instructions for life, this Torah that we have before us, is very, very clear as to what Yah's intent and purpose of it was to be. If we would really open our minds and really open our hearts to have these things put into the nefesh, the soul of man, and receive them for the fullness of depth and width and breadth that they really are, we would all be so much bigger than what we are. I don't think the majority of human beings ever live to the full or even close to the full potential that Yah created them, because they don't start tapping into that type of information as you are. And it's great to take it in as a knowledge-based scribe, but when you go ahead and take another step and you say, all right, I'm going to pray for understanding, which is what's happening with you. You're not just taking the knowledge, but you're really trying to understand it. Then that is a great giant leap for all mankind, and it's obviously a great leap for Scott Scribe Pratt, as it has been for Kevin Rock Rice. There's no question that these things in their understanding will take us further. But what I've seen as the greatest understanding is that when these things can be applied to a life, that I then can become that leader instead of just staying as the follower. You know, how to be a good leader, you got to be first a good follower. And some of the exercises that we are going through, even in the leadership development courses that are being taught right before your very eyes through becoming a business broker, an agency developer. It's one thing to be a good broker, and to be a good broker, you will need to be a good follower. You will need to follow the instructions of those that have gone before you, that have found the hidden principles within life that will cause one to be a good broker. The challenge that comes in is not just getting the knowledge and praying for the understanding of it and then sitting in a seminar and saying, wow, 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 as you listen to someone, but it's going a step beyond that that makes all the difference, and that is when you're listening to that business broker, agency developer, standing in front of a room full of people and saying, wow, that's good. Oh, man, that's great. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We're just really digging it, right? That's all great. But at the end of the day, when you walk out of the room, if you don't take it and write it on the tablet of your own heart so that it can actually be walked out, not just talked out, but walked out, and you actually live it and you actually do it, it's that trying where there may be failure, and then trying some more, and there may be failure again, and trying some more, and you may be failing again. If at first you don't succeed, try again. And it's in the failing and in the doing and in the doing and in the failing that we become successful. What the world calls successful. See, what we do is we think success is in the bank account. And the truth of it all is true success is not in the bank account. It's in the heart account. It's in our love bank. When we actually have Him in us, and we've made deposit after deposit after deposit of Him into us, and we've continued to make enough deposits of love into us, we then become the love leaders that He's really wanted us to be all along. A disciple was a disciple while Yeshua was around, because they were being discipled directly by Yeshua Himself. But there came a point where the student had to have learned enough and had to be filled with the breath that would breathe down from Shamayim into them in Acts 2, that they would get so filled with power, as promised in Acts 1:8, they would have that power that would come into them, that they would become not the student but the teacher. They would become not the evangelist student of how to do evangelism by watching Yeshua do evangelism, but actually go out and do evangelism and become the evangelist. They had to watch the Good Shepherd do shepherding before they could become shepherds. And until they watched Him do shepherding, they could not become shepherds themselves and shepherd the people. It was not possible for them to go into that shepherding if in fact that they were not willing to watch the Good Shepherd as the disciples, and none of this could have ever transformed them into becoming the apostles. They had to be the student before they could be the teacher. And this is the greatest lesson of what I'm teaching, as I'm here for business. I'm doing the exact same thing in the marketplace ministry as what Yeshua does in His ministry of teaching students to become teachers. Every one of you that is involved as a business broker, agency developer with me is learning that art of marketplace ministry firsthand, by real example. This is what we do. And my first and foremost thing when I'm out there in the marketplace is not to get somebody involved in business with me. My first goal is to love that neighbor as myself and show them that I love them by a real life example of connecting with them. And I believe with all my heart that's why I have the success that I have and why it's so easy for me is because I'm just doing it the way that he instructed it because I've been a good student. And if you lead with love as your first product, if you lead with love as the first product, the greatest product that you have, you will succeed beyond comprehension in everything that you do. It doesn't even matter what business it is. It doesn't matter what product it is. If you lead with love, you're going to be successful. You cannot fail with that formula. It just will not fail for you. But you have to first be able to go forth as a mighty man of valor. You have to be able to take that faith that'll move a mountain, and you have to display it in real life situations by stepping out. So if you don't do, I want everybody to write this down. If you don't do, you are robbing everyone of the opportunity to see the living word in you. Who's the living word? The living word is Yeshua HaMashiach. And as sure as I'm sitting here, I'm guaranteeing you this. He wants to live in you. And they need to see him living in you. And that's not someone who's living in fear. And if you're afraid to talk to people, if you're afraid to make a phone call, if you're afraid to go from business to business to business to business, if you're afraid to get out there, he's not living in you strong enough yet. He's not living in you strong enough yet. I'm giving a message. You can go inside the...
I mean, your light's on.
Yeah, I got the truck running.
Oh.
I got to keep the battery going. He's not living in you strong enough, and you haven't been going after it long enough for people to see who you are. So this very process of transformation, of going from student to teacher, has not fully happened yet, even if all you are is one that sits on Love Live and teaches. That's one aspect of it, and it's nothing wrong with it. It's great. I do it. I'm a part of it. But if I don't take it to the streets, if all I ever do is sit in my house and I do a radio broadcast, and I never go out in the streets and hug a person, if I never go out in the streets and lay hands on the sick, if I never go ahead out on the streets and I lay hands with the elders on those that are being ordained into the kingdom and being obedient to Timothy and Titus and all of the other congregation building type scripture, then I'm being disobedient and not obedient because I'm not doing. For me, if I was that person, I'd be a spectator and this would all be a show. It would not be reality radio. I would be going amiss because I would be missing the very beauty of the pattern of real success, where the deposits of love into the love account, your love heart bank account, has got to be so full and you have to be so wealthy that you can't keep it to yourself. You've got to get out and you've got to share it with this world. That's what we're trying to do for every one of you, is to make enough deposits in you that you can't contain it any longer. You have to tell someone. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. Yeshua HaMashiach is born. But let's go beyond just his birth. Let's go through his life. Let's tell them about his life. Let's bring alive what a true ministry is supposed to look like. And let's model and pattern ourselves after the greatest minister of love that there ever was. If we're going to be ministers of love, why would we pattern ourselves after anyone else? Now, we can learn something from Shaul the Shaliach, for sure. We can learn something from Kepha the Shaliach, for sure. We can learn something from Yehuchanan the Shaliach, for sure. But if we are not patterning ourselves after Yahweh, Yahusha, and Ruach HaKodesh, and the way that we see the manifestation of that self-same Ruach that manifests in so many different ways, and we can't practically apply with a real-life situation Him in us, I think we go amiss. I think that would be sinful. And that's what convicted me as I got deeper and deeper and deeper in Ruach, was, you know what? I've been failing enough in this life, and I've grieved the Ruach long enough by falling short and going amiss. It's time that I suck it up, Buttercup, and I get real, and I get reality radio instead of some big show, some big church game, where we're doing some kind of man-made thing, trying to please the bishop or please the overseeing apostle or try to please the pastor and kiss the pastor's butt. I've been part of a lot of church leadership. 35 denominations, I've watched how they function. I have enough knowledge to know the difference. Do you? Now, I'm not recommending that you attend 35 denominations. I'm recommending that you take the wisdom that I've gained so you don't have to go out there and take the surveys and take the polls and go ahead and test the waters of religion. You don't need to do it. I can tell you right now, whatever religious experiences you've had, if they've turned you off like they turned me off, then why don't we just follow the pattern of success that's been laid forth by Yahusha, Yeshua, Yahushua? Why don't we just do it His way instead of our way? Do it Yahweh instead of our way. He's got a pattern. He's got a success plan. You know, Scribe and I, yesterday, as we were looking at how we're going to develop the leadership team of brokers in Wisconsin, and I am counting on not only him being an overseer of love, because Yah forbid that I would get in an accident and die, that I would have not left enough legacy of what Abba Yah was doing in me as the miracle in me, that I didn't pass that along enough into Scribe and into Sand and into Yami. I've thought of it over and over and over. What a waste it would be. How sad would it be if all of a sudden, Yah forbid, that I was beheaded, like Yehuchanan the Mikvah man was. If somehow I was killed for my faith, would I have planted enough seeds into enough good soil, you all, everyone listening, that you would take what was planted in you that Abba Yah led me to plant through this love life, so that you would go doesn't mean sit in the basement. Go doesn't mean sit in your house. Go doesn't mean hide it under a bushel. No! That's not go. Go means go. Get out there and tell people the good news about his goodness. Goodness that he wants to be in you. I can't encourage you enough to stop being a spectator. I can't encourage you enough to stop sitting on the bench. He wants you in the game. I'll even say it to my wife. I can't encourage my wife to stop sleeping in the morning and get off of her butt and get on this line and use the gift that Abba Yah gave her, because she's an excellent teacher. And to not do when he's gifted you is sin. I'm sorry to be so blunt to everybody, but doggone it, get off the bench and get on the field. And if you're supposed to be the quarterback, then be the quarterback. If you're supposed to be the wide receiver, then be the wide receiver. And doggone it, don't drop the ball. Catch the ball and run. Don't run for rock. Don't run for scribe. Don't run for Yami. Don't run for sand. Run for Abba Yah. He owns the team. He owns the team. He owns the dream. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. This is all about him. And the problem we have in life is we try to make it about ourselves, and that's how we get lost in the interpretation. We try to make it about us. And that's why I've said for over 30 years I've been preaching this. It's not about me. It's about he who saved me. And of course, when I was a Christian, I used to say, it's not about me, it's about JC. So I can't say that no more, so I just say, it's not about me, it's about he who saved me. It's all about him. But we try to make it something different because we spend too much time being a filter instead of a funnel. Stop filtering this stuff through your own personality, through your own defects of character, through your own demons, through your own strongholds. Those are all filters. And they will not allow you to flow like a funnel should, so this information can go through you and be lived out. You cannot and will not be a living word and master this message if you keep being a filter. It will not happen. When you get all the filters off and you say, all right, Ruach HaKodesh, speak to me and through me, flow. And all of a sudden, the floodgates of Shamayim open up and you get berachot beyond anything that you could even think, ask, or hope for, just like he promised. If I preach and you don't ever get convicted by things that I say, then I just was in sin in what I preached, because I'm guilty of being afraid to offend you. Oh, I didn't tickle your ears this morning and make you feel good. I actually kicked you in the rear end and said, go! Be. Do. So if I was to entitle this message of going from student to leader, I would call it go, do, be. Or go, be, do. It really doesn't matter what order. You got to do it. All of it. Not part of it. Don't filter it. Don't do part of it. Well, I like doing this part, but I don't want to do that part. When you sound like the I don't want to, you're still a baby in the faith. You're still wanting me to serve up Gerber baby food, all chopped up really, really fine and pureed with little bananas. I don't want to have my greens. I don't want to have the peas. I want bananas. And you sound like Eva, a little four-year-old, and you're in your 30s or in your 40s or in your 50s. I've seen your personalities enough already this week to know that a lot of little kid is still inside a lot of you guys. And if you don't examine yourself honestly, you're never going to grow up in the faith. You're going to stay a little child in your behaviors. You're going to stomp your feet. You're going to have to walk out of a room because you can't handle the truth. The truth is, grow up. That's what we're supposed to do. Read Ephesians 4 seriously instead of as some ear-tickling message. Read it as a butt-kicking message. The best coaches on a football team kick the team in the butt enough with love, and they love playing for that coach because that coach stretched them to the farthest degree and brought out the best in them. I'm not here to let you just coast. I'm not here to let you just get by. I want to see every one of you be wealthy, first and foremost, inside in your love bank, to the point where your love bank is so overflowing that you can't contain it. And it is a direct reflection of what's in your love bank of what's going to be in your financial bank account. I believe he will prosper you like he did with Abraham. He will prosper you like he did with Yitzchak and Yaqub, who became Yisrael. I believe he'll prosper you like he did with Yosef before the Pharaoh. Your wealth is just a work away. And that it goes for working on yourself just as much as it has for your bank account financially. Your wealth account of self account will prosper in ways that are beyond anything you could think, ask, or hope for when you open yourself up completely to these channels of excellence. He is not looking for mediocre people to be his bride. I don't know if you figured that out yet. Average isn't his options. Mediocre is not his options. Average and mediocre don't even make the team. They're not the ones sitting on the bench. The ones that are sitting on the bench that you're going to watch on the Green Bay Packers, those are the ones that made the cut. So what we're really talking about here is, are you on fire enough? Are you going, doing, and being enough that you make the cut? A Galal Talmudim, a committed disciple, a committed student, is great. But eventually when they're sitting and they're going through all the plays and they're teaching everything in the locker room, eventually you got to get out on the field to be able to play the game. And you surely cannot win a game, which will eventually lead to a Super Bowl and playoffs, which will be more games and more money. And you definitely will not be the highest paid player in the NFL like Aaron Rodgers is. You're never going to get to that point if you stay in the locker room and you keep looking at all the game plays and you never get out there and throw the ball. Eventually, you got to leave the locker room. You got to leave where the school is. And you got to say, okay, school's out for summer, and you got to get out there, baby. And you got to run. And you got to throw. And you got to catch. You got to do it. You got to be it. You got to see it. I'm trying to open up your vision this morning. Can you open up your vision with me? Can you pray, Ruach, let me see my dream. Let me see a vision of who I'm supposed to be. Help me to see who I can be. I did it. And guess what? Sure, as I'm sitting here in this truck with the rain and everything going on, and I'm looking out and I got my microphone right above my head, I'm living the dream. I'm living the vision. I remember sitting in a vehicle many years ago in Florida in areas where I knew nobody, saying to myself, okay, I'm here, yeah. You told me to go out here. Who am I supposed to talk to? I don't know anybody. And now I compare where I am right now to that guy that sat out there in Florida 20 years ago, looking out over Tampa Bay, praying for people. And the bottom line is the same characteristics of evangelism, of getting out there and meeting people. So I had someone to minister in the first place. So I had a soul that I could fill up their love bank with, is the same principle that you have to use to be able to be a business broker, agency developer. You have to be able to walk into any restaurant, any truck stop, any grocery store, any department store, any coffee shop, any McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's. It doesn't matter. You got to be able to walk down the street and sing the Sesame Street song. They're the people that you meet when you're walking down the street. You've got to meet people. Hide it under a bushel. No, no, no. I got to go, go, go. I got to get out there, and I got to meet some people. Because if I don't meet people, I can't win that soul. drove so far in this trip? Three thousand nine point two miles. Do you think that I just did this trip? And if you figure that we're getting 10 miles to the gallon, that means so far we've used 300 gallons. And it's less than 30 gallons to fill this tank. Much less. I don't even know the exact on this truck. I know how much it was at the Escalade. But if I was to take that, that means that we've already done 100 tankfuls. And if it costs $100 or more to fill the tank, that would be $10,000. And I'm going to have to redo that math to try to figure that out, because that scares me to the highest heavens, okay? Wow, $10,000? We put $10,000 into this trip? Now, we have been gone for a month and a half. So, you know, if by the time we get home it's, you know, close to 2 months, then I guess it's only $5,000 a month. No big deal, right? But what's the point? The point is, if I am not reaching people with the good news, because it surely is not just about business, and I don't know if you figured me out yet, but it sure ain't out here just so I can make some money to pay for the 3,000 miles that have been driven. That's not why I'm here. That's not what motivates me, is to just break even or get my money back. If one soul, according to Abiyah, is worth the whole world, and he looks at you as that high of a commodity, that high of a product, that high of a value that he, not me, but he has put on you, then if I can buy into that type of concept and I can say that's your net worth to me, because that's your net worth to my Abba, then I have taken the responsibility of what I have at hand that is before me as I sit in this truck. I have taken it seriously, and it is worth every penny of 3,009 miles. And by the time we get home, it usually ends up being 5,000 or 6,000 miles, maybe 7,000 even. Then it is worth every penny that we invest, because you are worth it. But if you're bad soil, if you got some stinking weeds coming up that are choking you off, if you are so hard-hearted that you got stony, rocky soil and I can't get these roots in you, you make yourself a bad investment. I don't make you a bad investment. You chose to be a bad investment. I guarantee you, as I sat before Kings, going back to Scribe's original situation, it was prophesied that I would sit at the feet of Kings. I know as sure as I'm sitting here, with all the successful people that Yah has put in my life in their own right, they maybe weren't Donald Trump and they maybe weren't Joe Biden, but they were high-level people in authority. They were kings. And Yah put me at their feet just like he said that they would, but I had to make sure when I was on the receiving end of all this stuff that I wasn't bad soil. I had to make sure that I was good soil. I had to make sure that I was ready to receive all that he had for me. And if he put me at the feet of a doctor in law or a doctor in economics or a doctor in theology, there was a reason for the season of why I was in front of that person. There was some reason why he put me there as a student, as a disciple, as a Talmidi. As I was a Talmidi, I had to be hungry, as Les Brown would say, I had to be hungry to get everything I could, because I was not going to waste another moment of my life, because I had already wasted far too much time failing. I had already wasted far too much time thinking about it, but not doing about it. I had already wasted far too much time in mental masturbation, and all I kept doing when I would mentally masturbate is screw myself. I had to knock it off. And maybe some of you needed to hear it that bluntly. Are you screwing yourself? Are you robbing yourself of the opportunity to receive all that he has for you? Because you're afraid? You still got fear? And fear is the lack of faith? So your faith is lacking, and you're sitting, you know, going through the motions, and you're not building up your faith enough to be a doer of the word. And that's what has to be changed. That's what you got to change. I had to change everything that I preached to you on when I was bad soil, when I had weeds, when I had rocks, when I was a loser, when I was at the bottom, the rock bottom reality. I had to change. To go from I want to die, I hate you, rock, looking at myself in a mirror, to go from I want to die, I hate you, rock, to I love you, rock, and I want to live, is a pretty huge transformation, wouldn't you say? I think some of you forget that I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt factory to prove it. Hello? This is not a dress rehearsal for me. This is the real deal. I'm doing it. I'm being it. I live it. And I've been living it for a long time. And while you live it and you continue to live it and you continue to live it and you continue to live it, more will be revealed. There's a chapter in the Narcotics Anonymous basic text. It's a great chapter in that book. If you've never read that book, there's a lot of great stuff in there. It's not as good as the Kitzei HaKodesh, but there's some doggone good stuff in there. And I'll tell you, more will be revealed. Recovery and relapse. Just for today, those chapters motivate me. And because they motivated me, it caused me not to get complacent in my recovery, but to say, okay, great, so I've mastered not picking up drugs. Okay, great, wow, there's a major accomplishment. Oh, yeah, I got another clean time anniversary. Oh, yeah, now I'm going to be 37. On August 17th, oh, I'm so great. You know what? If you're clean but you're still an asshole like I am, or was, I should say, then what good is it? Now you're a sober asshole instead of a drunk asshole. What's the difference? Wake up, dude. Stop being a jerk off. That's what I had to do, because I was a jerk-off. I was that asshole. I was the donkey. Stubborn. Kicking all over the place. Kicking against the pricks. And the rebellion against authority was quite obvious. I rebelled against my father first. that's where that spirit was released in me, and then that needed to be crucified. But instead, it got stronger, and then I was rebelling against teachers at school, and I was rebelling against any kind of leadership, including the law. And therefore, because that spirit of rebellion spun wild in me, I became the lawless. The Yah-mazing Hanan shines through when you stop being the lawless and you have this desire that he puts in you to become the lawful. You want to become full of the Torah, full of the instructions. You want them written on the tablets of your heart, and you find out not only when you learn them and then you pray over them and you understand them, but when you actually go out and do them, the miracle happens in you like it did for me. There's no getting around it. He wants to show the world through you and the person that you are. He wants to show himself, the he in me, the Yah in you. He wants to show himself to this world through your hands, through your feet, through your mouth, through your eyes, through the or, through the light, through the aura, that you will shine everywhere that you go. You can't disguise it. You can't hide it under a bushel. No, no, no. You gotta let it shine, shine, shine. You gotta. It overtakes you. It consumes you. It brings you to an incredible place that everywhere you go, you light up a room. Everybody sees it. They see how incredible of a work that Yah has done. And the only thing you did was you submitted, you surrendered, you said, I don't want to do it my way anymore. I want to let him have his way. And you do the most important work of your life, which is leading by example of the goodness and the kindness and the gentleness and the shalom and the long suffering, like I've had to do with all these Wisconsin people. A couple times people have come up to me like, you know, like I had an attitude. If they only understood what I knew, what I know that I know that I know in my heart of hearts, and then I see how far along through the process of transformation that many people are, and their ability to cope, and what kind of coping skills have they developed so far, and how stretched that their existence on this earth makes me have to stretch to long suffer with them and not just totally blow up and say, ugh, you're driving me crazy. Get rid of your doggone defects and step into the game here. We're trying to win. Here I am throwing touchdown passes and you keep dropping the doggone ball. Get with it, man. I'm building a team here. I'm a business broker, agency developer, kingdom first kind of guy. I play for the kingdom team. And we're going to the greatest Super Bowl that there ever was. The Super Bowl of Shamayim. But for all of that to happen, a lot of us have a lot of change that has to happen. And I'm challenging you to start changing faster. Quit taking 40 years to get across the wilderness. It's a 7-day journey, bonehead. Wake up. You're your own worst enemy because you're taking forever. Get to the promised land and let's play ball. So all I can tell you is I've been changed. I ain't that suicidal kid that wanted to kill himself from about 7 or 8 years old all the way through till he was 23. I ain't that guy anymore. I'm not that loser. And I would have lost. I would have lost eternal life. The most precious, priceless gift that we all have is to live forever and not perish. I would have lost it if I would have been stupid enough to fall for the enemy's lies, and I would have successfully killed myself, then I would have perished. I want you to get your eyes on the prize, everlasting life, and that priceless gift that it all is. And there's a lot of other things you have to succeed in that process. And you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Do, do, do. Go, go, go. Be, be, be. Go, do, be. Be, do, go. But for it to fully complete itself, you got to make the changes and you got to make them quick. Change, change, change. Jordan Feliz sang it best. This is Changed by Jordan. Hallelujah. Come on, Jordan. Bring it in. Here he comes. Oh, yeah. Can I get a hallelujah? Can you dance? Can you jump up? Can you shout and say, I've been changed?
Let me tell you, oh, my friends, about this joy I'm living in. Let me take the mic, go on and testify how I was dead and then I came to life. No more living in the dark of night. Now everything's alright. I've been I'm
know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, meeting your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the pain, make it wider than snow. Like a tide, it's rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes it come alive. Living water that brings the dead to life. Oh, we're going down.
Hungry, hurting, homeless, helpless, brokenhearted, downtrodden, set the captives free kind of ministry. You can support us by going to give.yahweh.love. That's give.yahweh.love. Give.yahweh.love. We would surely welcome any of your love gifts. You can go there. You can put yourself on a monthly. You can put yourself on a daily. You can put yourself on a big old love gift of $1 million, $100,000, $10,000, $1,000. I don't care what you do. Even if you're the widow's mite and you give a dollar, come on in and give that Yahweh.love, because we're going to keep giving and giving and giving of ourselves and everything that Yah's put in us every day as we start our day with Yahweh here on Praise, Prayer, Decree, and Declare. Well, my brother from another mother, Scott Scribe Pratt, what do you say to close this off?
Well, I tell you what, when you first started out, something jumped back at me when you were talking about what we had to do, what we had to be, what, you know, what had to happen, the understanding that we had to make come alive in our lives. And the Ruach took me all the way back to the Book of Enoch, believe it or not, as you were talking about it. And something that stood out, it just happened. You know, I've seen it and I've written it. I've read it before. But, you know, this is out of Enoch 69, 8 through 11. And the fourth was named Phanuel. He taught the children of men the bitter and the sweet, and taught them all the secrets of their wisdom. And he instructed mankind in writing with ink and paper, and thereby many sinned from eternity to eternity until this day. Now, this is the part that stood out. For men were not created for such a purpose, to give confirmation of their good faith with pen and ink. For men were created exactly like the Malachim, to the intent that they should continue pure and righteous, and death, which destroys everything, could not have taken hold of them. But through their knowledge, they are perishing, and through this power, consuming me. Now, I went back to that because what that spoke to me is that most of what we experience, most of what we learn, it was Yah's intent that it be communicated orally and verbally, so that immediately it had to be gotten up and walked out. You couldn't get stuck sitting behind a book, sitting behind a computer screen, sitting behind anything like that, and just reading and absorbing and becoming that sponge. You actually had to go out and do something with it so it would manifest in your life. And that we were supposed to be like Malachim. And that is what the goal is supposed to be. That is where we are supposed to be moving ourselves back to, through Yeshua, through the truth of the Ruach, through everything that Yah has provided for us. We're supposed to be moving ourselves back towards the reality of who we were before Enoch 9 or 69, 9 to 11 had to be necessary. And that's why Yah didn't want us, you know, in many ways, to congregate, you know, like we see cities doing now, because it breeds, it almost breeds lethargy. It almost breeds laziness. If you're out there and you're doing consistently and you don't have any choice but to do, it becomes a whole lot easier to continue doing. So, yeah, a great message, fantastic message. If you're not motivated by it, not just to become a better business person, but, you know, more importantly, to become a more effective believer. I don't know what to say. I know I have.
I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you. If not us, for us to do something.
something.